Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1. And if you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen. Amen. If you don't have a Bible, we have pew Bibles. You're welcome to join along. Let's stand here this morning while I read God's word to the congregation. Starting in verse number 1, God's word says this: In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir to all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he had inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says this: "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says in the beginning, "Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end." To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? And we'll end right there, and let's pray. Father, this morning we're going to talk about these beings called angels. And Father, today I just pray, Lord, that we will all learn just a little bit more about what your word says about these creations of yours, these angels. So open our hearts and our minds to the truth. And maybe today, Lord, maybe today will be somebody's day of salvation. Today will be the day that they give their heart and their life to Jesus Christ. We give you praise for all of this. And we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I've titled today's message, "Do Angels Really Exist?" And today we're going to talk about angels. Now, inside your bulletin, on the bottom right hand, bottom left hand side, usually I always put a picture there of some sort. And I was looking for, and I just typed in, I went into Google, and I typed the word angels, and a whole bunch of other pictures come up. Now, let me tell you some of the other things that come up. I had pictures of the baseball team, the Anaheim Angels, or are they the California Angels? Or are they the Los Angeles Angels? I think every year they change their name. Anyways, a lot of pictures of the baseball team come up. Some pictures of the singing group, the Angels, come up. They had a hit song in 1962. "My boyfriend's back and you're gonna be in trouble." Now everyone will be singing that song all day. Of course, there's Cindy over there. "Hey la, hey la." But pictures of the Angels come up. Pictures of the Blue Angels come up. They are airplanes that were flying. A lot of pictures of the Blue Angels. Some pictures of Hell's Angels come up. And then the last one, some pictures of Charlie's Angels come up. So there were a lot of pictures of angels that come up, and I had to search pretty far and wide till I could finally find a picture that I found rather appropriate for the inside of the bulletin here this morning, but I finally found one. The book of Hebrews. No one knows exactly who wrote the book of Hebrews. Some say it was the Apostle Paul. Some say it was Apollos. Some say it was Barnabas. But we don't know. We don't know exactly who wrote the book of Hebrews. But one thing we do know for sure about this book is that it was written by somebody who really knew Judaism inside and out. And for the Jews at this time in history, 2,000 years ago, their entire religious system was about to be changed. Everything that they knew was about to change for them. And the writer of this book had to explain to the Jewish readers, the Hebrews, that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, was the long-awaited Messiah. They had been waiting for the Messiah for millennia, actually, and he's finally here. And this, he also had to convey the idea that this Jesus of Nazareth, is superior to much of what they knew at that time and people and things that they held in very high esteem. So what did they hold in high esteem that the writer of this book had to talk about? Well, the book of Hebrews tells the reader that Jesus is, one, superior to Abraham. And we remember Abraham. He was the father of a great nation of Israel. But Jesus is superior to Abraham. Jesus is superior to Moses. And Moses was the greatest prophet the Jews ever knew, and he was the giver of the law. Jesus is also superior to the high priest. And we know the high priest was the intercessor between man and God in the Old Testament. Jesus is superior to the sacrificial system. And if you remember, they had to sacrifice animals back in those days in the Old Testament. That's how their sins were atoned for. But today we're going to talk about the fifth and last one. Jesus is superior to angels. The Jews held angels in very, very high esteem. The entire first chapter of the book of Hebrews, which we just read, focuses on the fact that Jesus is greater than angels. So with that, today, let's spend some time here this morning. Let's spend all our time here this morning talking about angels, and not Charlie's angels or Hell's angels or the Blue Angels or even the baseball team. Let's search the scriptures here this morning to learn some interesting facts about these beings that we call angels. Let me start by asking this question. Have you ever felt a sinful nudge of temptation? You know, we might have seen the cartoons. We have the bad guy on this shoulder and the good guy on this shoulder. And there's the bad guy that wants to make us do the wrong things. I'm sure you've never felt temptation in your life, have you? You've never felt like something wanted you to do the wrong thing, have you? Of course not. Well, I'm sure we have. And I'm sure we've always blamed that temptation on the right thing. And it's the devil. It's the devil trying to get you, trying to get me to mess up and fail in our Christian walk. And he wants to get us to sin. Of course he does. Well, the reason I bring that up is because if we believe that there's such a thing called the devil, there is also such a thing called angels. Because, and I'll explain how that all that come to pass. A few years ago, actually it was shortly after I got here, I started here in 2007, and I think it was the next year, I was in the back of the church, was letting out, and I was standing on the top of the steps out there, and here comes Pete Fitzgerald, and most of you remember Pete Fitzgerald. And she stopped me, and she kind of put her arm on me, and she said, "Mike, do you believe in angels?" And I said, "Yes, Pete, I believe in angels. I do. I believe in angels." If you were going to ask the average man or woman out in the street, what do they think of when they hear the word angel? They might think of Monica, remember? Touched by an Angel, remember that TV show? Touched by an Angel, played by Roma Downey, I think was her name. Or they might think of Tess, played by Della Reese, but they think of that TV show, Touched by an Angel. And if you remember that show, At the very end, Monica kind of reveals herself as an angel, and there's this orange glow behind her. I'm an angel sent from God. Well, that's the TV show. Or you might think of the movie. Remember the Nicolas Cage movie, City of Angels? Which Nicolas Cage is an angel, and he gives up his angel status to become a human so he can be with Meg Ryan. Haven't figured that one out yet. But he wanted to change your angel status to become a human to be with Meg Ryan. No thanks. I wouldn't take that one. But that was just me. And if you remember in that movie, all the angels are standing there on the beaches and they're all wearing black and they're all kind of facing the same way. But that's TV. And that's the movies. So are there real, do angels really exist? And should we believe in angels? And what is their purpose? And what do they look like? And where do they come from? And where do they live? And when were they created? And there's all these great questions that we can have about these creatures we call angels. I'm going to answer all those questions here this morning. This morning, we're going to learn about angels. So let's go through some of the questions. Why should I believe in angels? Well, it's very simple, because the Bible tells us so. The Bible tells us that they do exist. And did you know that there are 273 references to angels in the Bible in both the Old and New Testament? So since the Word of God teaches that they exist, then we should also believe that they exist also. But not everybody believes in angels. And I have one particular example up here from Acts 23:8. It tells us that there's a group of people called the Sadducees. They did not believe in resurrection. They did not believe in angels. They did not believe in spirits of any sorts. And the Sadducees, believe it or not, were part of the Jewish ruling class. These were the people that were telling everyone else what to believe and what to do. And so as you can see that it says the Sadducees say that there's no resurrection, neither angels nor spirits. So there's the verse up there. So you can see that there were even liberal theologians back 2,000 years ago. But why do we believe in angels? Because the Bible tells us so. It's really quite simple. The next question, how did they come into being? Well, we have a couple verses up here. Colossians 1:16 tells us that angels were created by God. And he simply spoke them into existence the same way he spoke the heavens and the earth into existence, something we call ex nihilo. He made something out of nothing. He just created the angels. Psalm 148, verses 1 through 5. I don't have the complete all five of those verses up here, but it says the angels at his command were created. But there's also something I like to let you know about angels. Also, the Bible tells us that angels, they never marry, they never procreate, and they never die. Angels just are. And every reference to angels in the Bible, they are always masculine gender when they're referred to. So how did they come into being? Well, they were created by God. So that's pretty simple. Next question, when were they created? And this gets a little tough. So when were angels created? The only evidence we have is from Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 7. And if you remember, Job 38 is God really letting Job have it and telling him, kind of really dissing this guy at this point. And this is God speaking to Job, and he says this to Job. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off his dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? Or what were its footing set? Or who laid its cornerstone? And I'll just stop right there. God is talking about creating the heavens and the earth. Then he says this, while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. So we could say this, that the angels, the best that we can tell is that the angels were created before the earth and the heavens were created. I'm not going to get dogmatic about that. I just know this is the only biblical scripture that we have that kind of can help us understand when angels were created. Let's ask the next question. How many angels are there? Well, We don't know for sure. But John had a revelation that's written in the book of Revelation in chapter 5, verse 11, that tells us this. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. Well, let me do the math for you. 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million. So if we could use that as fact, we know this. There's at least 100 million angels. So you notice how I answered that question. How many angels are there? There's many. There's a lot of angels. And did you know, back in biblical times, back 2,000 years ago, the highest number that they ever used for any kind of recording was 10,000. They never counted above 10,000. So what did they do? They did a little bit of multiplication. So that's why he says 10,000 times 10,000. You'll never find a number above that being used in the Greek. So we have 10,000. So we know he saw many angels. Did he see all of them? We don't know. But we know this. There are many angels. So now we know when they were created, how many there are. There's just too many to count. Are all angels good angels? No. The simple answer is no. So how do we know that? We get back to the book of Revelation again. And we know this. Two-thirds of them are, because we know one-third of them fell in the fall. It says, tells us this in the book of Revelation 12, verse 4. It tells us that Lucifer, Satan, pride got the best of him, and he was banished out of heaven. And it says that he took one-third of the angels with him. So however many numbers of angels that were created, we know that one-third of them are evil and demonic because Satan took them with him. And two-thirds of the angels are still good angels. They didn't defect with Lucifer. So today we're just going to continue to talk about the good angels. We're not going to talk about the bad ones, but just to let you know that all angels were good at one time until pride got in the way and Lucifer and one-third of the angels fell. So next one, what do angels look like? This is very interesting because there's really a lot of different scripture that talks about angel, angelic appearances in the Bible. And I just have a couple of them up there. According to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, angels are spirit beings. We just read that verse. And they can, however, take on the form of human beings, people that we see. And the one verse that I picked out was Judges 13:6, because I thought that one was one of the more interesting verses. And then the woman is Samson's mother. We remember Samson. So this is Samson's mother. Then Samson's mother went to her husband and told him, "A man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God. Very awesome. I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name." Didn't get all the facts, did you? But she knew this. Oh, he was awesome. He was awesome looking. So we know this. Angels can look awesome. We know that from that verse. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel sees an angel dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite. His face was like lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze. And his voice like the sound of a multitude. That's describing an angel from Daniel. I have some other verses up there that talk about angelic appearances. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 3, the angel that rolled the stone away, we know about that, the resurrection of Jesus, says is described with an appearance like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. So we know there's all kinds of different descriptions of angels, but they can look just like you or I. And some of them even look pretty awesome. So now we know what they look like. They could take on pretty much any appearance. How about this one? Do angels have emotions? The simple answer to that is yes. We know that they can express joy because we know angels rejoice. In Luke chapter 15 is what they call the lost chapter, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. And in verse number 10, the Bible tells us that the angels are rejoicing in the pres- There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Just think, the moment that you came to Christ, the moment that you had regeneration in you, the moment that the Holy Spirit took over inside of you, the angels were rejoicing because that was the moment that you got saved. And they are rejoicing when that happens. So to me, rejoicing is an emotion. So yes, angels can certainly show emotion. Now, we're going to end with this one question, but this one question is going to have many, many different answers. And the question is this: what is their purpose? What do angels do? Why are they here? Well, we know this from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. We know that they are servants of God, but that word servant encompasses a whole lot of different things. They will do whatever God tells them to do or whatever God needs them to do. And maybe that's one of the reasons why Satan got kicked out of heaven. I should say Lucifer, because he didn't want to take orders from God. I don't know. But there are many things that we see that the angels doing. So let's go through this list. And I think I'm going to have a total of 7 of them up here. So we know that they are servants of God. What else? They are messengers. And I do believe we have fill in the blanks for this. They are messengers. We see this a whole lot in the scriptures surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ. The angel Gabriel, we know, brought a message to Zechariah and to Mary. And there was another unnamed angel who came to Joseph in a dream 4 different times and brought him different messages. We don't know if it was the same angel or not, but Joseph had 4 different instances where angels appeared to him. We know this: a host of angels appeared to the shepherds to deliver to them the message of the birth of the Christ. And there are numerous other passages and scriptures that talk about angels who are bringing messages to various individuals. So one of their things that they can do as servants of God is they are messengers. What else? They provide. And remember, they are here as ministers to those who inherit salvation. That would be you and I. So angels can do any of these things for us also. They provide. But in the biblical way, in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, an angel provides food for Elijah. We can go back and read that passage. And in Matthew chapter 4, remember Jesus had just been baptized. He goes in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And it says that the angels attended to Jesus after his temptations in the wilderness. So angels provide. What else do they do? They guide. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. An angel guides Philip, physically guides Philip, to go south. And when Philip goes south, he meets an Ethiopian eunuch. And we all know that story. In Acts chapter 10, two chapters later, a man named Cornelius is guided by an angel to send some men to Joppa to meet Peter there. So they can guide us. Angels can guide us. They're messengers. They can provide. They can guide. They can protect. They can protect us. In Daniel chapter 3, an angel protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the flames of a fiery furnace. A lot of people think that was Christ in there. Some say some Bibles will use Christ, some will use angels. We don't know, but they can protect. And in Acts chapter 27, it says this, that an angel of the Lord protected the Apostle Paul and the entire crew. We know in chapter 27 there was a shipwreck. An angel said, if you just do what we tell you, you will be protected. We know in Genesis chapter 19, I don't have that one up here. Genesis chapter 19, 2 angels protected Lot and his family as they were escaping Sodom as it was being destroyed by fire and brimstone by the Lord. And in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17, Elisha asked the Lord to open the eyes of his servant, meaning himself, and so the servant could see. And what did he see? He saw a mighty army of God, as angels protecting them from the Aramean army. So we know now that they protect. What else can they do? 2 more things. They can deliver. Acts chapter 5, verse 19, we know that the apostles were put in jail for preaching the gospel. And during the night, it says, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. And then later on in Acts chapter 12, Peter is in jail. And another instance, another angel shows up. A light comes on. Peter's chains fall off his wrist and off his feet. The iron gates to the city open up by themselves, and Peter goes free, all at the hands of an angel who delivered Peter from that bondage and the other apostles. And the final one, this one also begins with the letter D. Angels are messengers. They provide, they guide, they protect, they deliver, and they destroy. They can destroy. In Acts chapter 12, an angel strikes down and kills Herod because Herod would not give praise to God. And the text says there in Acts chapter 12 that his body was eaten by worms. But probably one of the most amazing angel stories is found in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35. And I have that one up here. In one night, it's a great story. You have to read the whole story. In one night, one angel from the Lord put to death 185,000 men from the Assyrian army. One angel takes out 185,000 people. That would be like wiping out everyone from the city of Richmond, just in one night, one angel. So they can destroy when they are told to do so. They deliver messages, they provide, they guide, they protect, they deliver. And when told, they can and will destroy according to the word of God. And they serve the purposes of God. And Hebrews 1:14, getting back to our scripture reading this morning, tells us that angels are ministering spirits to those who will inherit salvation. So if you are saved, or maybe even before you are saved, if you are one of the elect, you have angels. Are you ready for this? You have angels serving you in some way, in one of these ways. Perhaps an angel has provided for you. Perhaps an angel has delivered you a message of some sort. Perhaps they have guided you or they have protected you. And perhaps they have delivered. I don't know if they've destroyed for you yet or not, but that's something that they can do for God if so instructed. One last thing I want to say about angels. We must be extremely, extremely cautious not to get carried away with our affection and dedication and veneration and even worship of angels, because we can. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18 clearly tells us that we do not worship angels. And I believe I have that verse on the front of your bulletin. And what did Jesus tell the enemy, tell the devil when he was being tempted in the wilderness from Matthew chapter 4? He says this, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Only. So we do not serve, we do not worship, we do not have affection. Oh, we can like angels, they're good to have around, I guess. But we don't want to ever put angels, or really we never want to put anything above God. Okay, I said one last thing. Okay, one last thing. One more last thing. Believers do not become angels when they pass away and move on into eternal life. A lot of people think that. There are some preachers that will preach that. That when I die or you die or one of our loved ones dies, that is in Christ, they do not become angels, okay? They become glorified human beings who will judge the angels. Glorification of the believer is the final step in our salvation process. So it might be kind of a romanticizing that whole thing that we become angels. No, folks, we don't become angels. Angels are angels. We become glorified human beings. So chances are we will never know if we have ever encountered an angel from God in our life. But I say this, chances are that we probably have at some point in time. I love Hebrews 13:2, and I should have put it up here. Hebrews 13:2 says this, so listen to this. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without ever knowing it. Angels, you never know when that person that you're going to help just might be an angel. Or you never know when that person that's helping you just might be an angel sent from God. We know this. What are they? They're servants of God sent to help people like us. Let's pray.